From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Southwest Florida is known as a destination for food and wine, and it's a place where winemakers actively vie for space on a wine list or on a shelf. One of the ways they do that is at trade tastings, like one held earlier this week. Later in the show, host Julie Glenn will take us there and talk with a local wine professional about the local taste for international wines. But first, the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center is now in its 10th year. Well, I guess technically 2018 will be the 10th year in operation, and bringing a broad range of arts events to Southwest Florida. It's run by the 501c3 nonprofit Florida Arts Incorporated, and the center's state-of-the-art facility in downtown Fort Myers hosts exhibitions, galas, lectures, poetry readings, film screenings, concerts featuring world-renowned artists and up-and-coming local talent as well. The iconic building that the Arts Center operates from in downtown Fort Myers is also rich in local history. The site had been a Colusa settlement hundreds of years ago. Then in the mid-1800s, it became the location for the original fort that Fort Myers was named for. The neoclassical revival-style building that now houses the Arts Center was built in 1933 as a U.S. post office and was later converted into a federal courthouse. Then in 2003, Florida Arts Incorporated acquired a 99-year lease on the dilapidated and neglected building, and the work began to restore the facility to its original glory. Now the center is known for bringing world-class talent to Southwest Florida and providing educational offerings for children and adults alike. Joining me now in studio is Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center CEO and Executive Director Jim Griffin. He's a Juilliard-trained violist with the Naples Philharmonic Orchestra. He's also a former member of the Hudson String Quartet in New York, a faculty member at Point Counterpoint Chamber Music Camp in Vermont, and director of the New Arts Festival in Fort Myers. He'd previously served as principal violist for the New York Pro Art Orchestra Chamber Orchestra, as well as truly stands as the driving force behind the creation of the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center, and of course the restoration work that continues on that iconic building. In 2008, the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers named Jim their Art Organization Leader of the Year and an Angel of the Arts. Jim Griffith, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us in studio is the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center's Development Director, Melissa DeHaven. She's also producer and host of the runway fashion show Art Walks and can usually be found at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center on Monday evenings as producer and co-host of the Fort Myers Film Festival's TGIM, or Thank God for Indie Mondays, film screenings events. And if you're attending just about any arts-related event in the Fort Myers area, you're likely to run into Melissa. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, John. Thanks for having us.
I invite listeners to join the conversation with your comments and questions as well. Phone lines are open at 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. We're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And before we got into the season's offerings, Jim, I was hoping you could just tell us a bit about the Art Center's beginnings as, you know, we prepare to enter the 10th year of operation. With everything you already have going on, you know, your other performance schedules, what on earth made you decide to take on this huge venture?
Well, I think there's a little bit of craziness involved, but I was living near downtown in Dean Park with my wife, and at the time, downtown Fort Myers was essentially without life, and we wanted to create something with the arts, through the arts, in the downtown area, thus bringing life back in, hoping to bring life back into downtown. And the old federal building became available, and to me, it just says Art Center all over it. So then began a long quest to acquire the building, which we successfully did, and got the 99-year lease for $1 a year. And I wrote them a check for $99, so we're paid up in full. And I did accept the responsibility of raising the money to restore the building. So it was a $7 million project, and we did it in phases, and we were very successful in raising the money. It took longer than we had anticipated, but we were able to open our doors while we were still doing work, and opened our doors in September 10th in 2007, which was my birthday. And we are now about to celebrate our 10th season.
All right. Can you maybe take us back to what the building looked like maybe the first couple times you walked in? I understand it was in quite a state of disrepair and neglect.
It was. Well, from the outside, it's a glorious piece of architecture and made out of coral rock that was mined in the Florida Keys. But inside, unfortunately, the building was vacant for 6 years. And when the federal government vacated it, they locked the doors, turned the air off, and didn't tell anyone that the roof leaked. So every time it rained, it just poured water inside, and all the original interior elements were damaged or just rotted. And by the time we got it, it was just in total disrepair.
Wow. I think one of my favorite things so far anyway has been the ceilings. Mm. Tell me about that work.
Well, they were even made worse because when they converted the building to a courthouse, they decided to put drop ceilings throughout the building and thus covering up the original ornate plaster ceilings. And in doing so, they just poked holes in the beautiful ceilings to put the drop ceilings in. So we had to restore that as well, along with the water damage.
All right. And I was mentioning before, Angela with the Art Center had taken me on a tour this summer, and I got to see the new studio space. Tell us about that. How is that being utilized?
We're very excited to launch the Six Fingers Studios. The quick story about the six – when we took the drop ceilings out, we found handprints, painted handprints on the ceilings in the second floor. And the unusual thing about it is each hand had six fingers. So we've taken that icon and we've named our studios after that.
Do we know anything about the origins of that beyond it?
Or? No, only that it was from 1933. So someone during the Depression either had six fingers or a sense of humor.
Wow. All right. If anybody out there knows what that's about, please let us know.
Yes.
and what remains to be completed as far as the restoration work at this time? And I know you're looking to do a rooftop garden.
Exactly. We are about to commence construction of our new rooftop sculpture garden, which will include restaurant and beverage facilities. It overlooks the entire downtown Fort Myers as well as the Caloosahatchee River. So it's an amazing vantage point and will soon be a great addition to downtown.
Yeah, I have snuck up there and taken some pictures before.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch focus a little bit and you know, talk about some of the offerings coming. I think that what stood out to me most of all when I was first looking at everything coming here was that Kate Davis is coming back. I attended that show a few years ago. I know she's so much more than this, but I think probably the way a lot of folks would know her would be that viral video of her doing her version of All About That Bass through the Postmodern Jukebox Box
yes.
Group. Do you know much about what she's going to be doing this year?
Yeah, she wants to change things up a little bit because she's kind of known for her vintage jazz creations. But this year she's going to do all 70s songwriter music. So she's going to be doing things by Joni Mitchell and James, the guitarist and singer. I forgot his name. But anyways, it's all music from songwriters of the 1970s.
Oh, okay. And you know, we were just talking about before, there's going to be a burlesque show actually this weekend. It's sold out. Okay. That's not something you see a lot around here.
Yes, we actually had to postpone that because it was supposed to happen the weekend of Hurricane Irma. So it got postponed and has since completely sold out. And we're actually bringing them back. We've had the Glam Bam Girls perform before to completely sold out audiences, and they bring back the vintage burlesque style dance, and it's quite entertaining, and it's a wonderful art form actually that these girls are carrying on, and we're glad to have them.
Is this a local burlesque troupe?
It is.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Between the troupe is made up of ladies from the Naples to Fort Myers area.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. And you know, just this month there's going to be, three offerings of contemporary music, including a Naples-based group, Wilder Sons. I understand their style is kind of alt-rock progressive.
That's happening next Saturday. That one also was rescheduled due to the hurricane. So next Saturday, the Wilder Sons are coming.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
– So that's why October's so packed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had to move a few things. But then we have the Copper Tones coming. – They're based out of Fort Lauderdale for our Noteworthy series. And then also the Late Ones are coming at the end of October. And they're a group based out of Hawaii. So we're very excited to have them come out and play during our Noteworthy series as well. And then speaking of history, October 18th, there's Fort Myers History on Film that's coming to the Art Center. So there's going to be a lot of old footage of old downtown Fort Myers. So that should be something pretty interesting. And then, of course, we have TGIM.
Yes, yes.
Which will be in November. But we're very excited to have you as our special guest.
Yes, they've had me come back a few years as a guest judge, and I always.
And you're also a very talented musician, John Davis. We had a Sound of Summer concert series this summer, and you came out for and were like a special guest for three of the concerts. So I was very surprised to see how talented you are, and we're excited to have you back for TGIM.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I like doing – I'll be doing double duty, guest judging and playing, so that'll be fun. Emma Arnold is who I'll be performing with. She's just 17 years old, but to hear her play and hear her voice, you'd think she's much older, much more mature artist. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit also about the Center's Chamber Music Concert Series. The Diaz Trio. Jim, tell us about them.
Yeah, well, chamber music is my passion, being a violist. I actually grew up here in Southwest Florida and was very fortunate to go to the Juilliard School and came back and joined the Naples Philharmonic. So this is my 29th season with the Naples Philharmonic. But my passion remains chamber music, and I love to bring my Juilliard buddies to Southwest Florida and get together and create some fantastic programs and present them to the community. So our first of our four chamber series concerts is with the Diaz Trio. My wife actually grew up with Roberto and Andres Diaz in Atlanta, and they used to play chamber music in their living rooms on the weekends. And then Andres Cardenas, who's the violinist of the Diaz Trio, is also the concertmaster of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. So they've been a trio for a number of years now, and they concertize all over the world. So we're very lucky to get them to come to Fort Myers and perform at the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center.
And I was just telling Jim before the show, I grew up watching the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra when I lived in Pittsburgh, and so I'm really excited to see see him again. December is also going to bring Sounds of New Orleans to the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center, performed by a band called Professor Cunningham and His Old School. What can you tell us about this group? I've watched some videos. It's pretty lively stuff.
It is, and it's a great group to dance to. They do the jitterbug style music. I found them in New York City and asked if they would come to visit us. And they, especially in December, said, absolutely, we'll come down to Florida. So we're very excited about having this band come for the first time. It's a unique name, but it ties in with the style of music that they play.
And can both of you tell me about, you know, just the whole process of putting together an entire season of, you know, performers and I mean, is there a particular methodology you use?
Well, I'll start with the fact that it takes the entire team that we have at the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center. Everybody has their own interests and input, so we all get together and we create these series, the different series that we offer. And, of course, I love to do the chamber music, so I get to that. And then the rest of the group does the Noteworthy concerts and the jazz concerts and the fashion shows and film festivals and everything else in the author series, everything that goes in. So it's a team effort.
It's like an all-year effort, too. It's not like just a couple months packed in. It's throughout the entire season. We're constantly looking to the future and putting things on the calendar. So it's a constant thing that we're undergoing to keep it full and things happening. And there's usually something going on every weekend, even during the week sometimes. Yeah. Like this Friday's Art Walk, which is one of the great events downtown Fort Myers. You can walk around. And we have two shows coming up this month. One is My Robo Life with Jet Victory, who's a street artist and also has these cool little robot characters that come to life in his artwork. And then I think this is the 11th season we're going to have the Dark Art Show again, which is going to be on the second floor in the Capitol Gallery. So hopefully we can get some people to come out downtown Fort Myers and see the city, come to Art Walk.
Yes, and of course, you know, the Sydney and Burn will be open to people walking around
enjoying
it.
6 to 10 p.m. on Friday.
Excellent.
We added a series this year because we had the Mercy Beatles band come from Liverpool last year, completely sold out, and everyone said, why didn't you do two shows so everybody could see it? Because they just couldn't get in. So we invited them back, and with that in mind, we created a series. So we actually have one of the top Elvis impersonators coming from Las Vegas for an evening with the King on January 19th. And then we have the Memphis Motown Experience coming on December 16th. So there's a whole series of tribute style bands.
Yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. And Melissa, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then for music and the outdoor festival lovers, we put on two pretty big festivals downtown Fort Myers by the River Basin, the Taps and Tunes Craft Beer and Music Festival, and then Smoke on the Water, which is a Florida-sanctioned barbecue competition and music festival.
We had over 30,000 people come to that event last year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I love Taps and Tunes myself. Yeah.
It's a lot of barbecue.
Yes. and Melissa, the fashion show is just – it's just got you written all over it. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is the – I think this is the eighth year of the fashion show, Art Walks the Runway. And it's grown quite a bit. It's a three-day event. So we have usually a celebration opening party, and we showcase some local boutiques, and then we show – I think it's something you'd see paired to like New York Fashion Week.
Absolutely, Miami.
Yeah. I mean the designers that we get, yeah, they come from all over the world for the international part. So it's always interesting to see the beautiful designs, and there's always some type of entertainment or art that ties into it. So like we had a contortionist performance last year, and then there's usually on the Saturday night we have some body painting that walks the runway, and there's a little story usually involved. So it's been a lot of fun and a lot of work, and people seem to really love it. And it's really cool to see a fashion show in that big, beautiful building and at downtown Fort Myers.
Are there runway models locally sourced?
Mostly, yeah. Yeah, I also sometimes have some of them from Miami. We put a post for call to models. So a lot of them are locally sourced, though.
Yeah. Do you ever get to walk away with anything yourself?
Fashion-wise.
Yeah, fashion-wise.
Not yet.
But I'll tell you what, one thing about that is if you get to see behind the scenes, the hair and the makeup and the clothes,
the production.
It's an amazing production that most people don't even get to see. They get to see the runway, but fun to see backstage.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the there's a particular concert series that, Jim, I know it must be a delight for you. I got to watch you perform in it this past April. And I mean, it's wonderful, beautiful, you know, classical chamber music pieces. But this is really kind of you getting together with your old buddies.
Absolutely. It is. And it's the highlight of my year is performing with these great musicians that perform Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, all the great venues all over the world. And I get to have them come to our little Sydney and Burn Davis Art Center and perform some spectacular chamber music. So we've been doing it every year, and it really is the best of the best coming to Fort Myers. One of the pieces we performed recently was the Grieg Holberg Suite, and I think we have a little bit of it that we might be able to play the audience.
And this was a recording from this concert a few years ago?
A few years ago, yes. Thank you.
Wow, that is amazing quality of that recording.
Isn't that great? Yeah. It makes me want to grab my instrument and play it. It's such an amazing piece. And the acoustics in the Sidney and Byrne Davis Arts Center lend itself so well to the chamber music.
And, of course, this is from the Virtuosi concert series.
The American Virtuosi. Mm. We actually do two American Virtuosi performances on that weekend. One is just the concert. And then we do a gala on the Saturday night, which includes a full gourmet dinner provided by G3 Catering, our in-house catering, and then followed by a performance of the guest artists.
And I can personally attest to, you know, what I love about that concert series is the artists you're bringing in are folks that it's not that you can't see them, but you're usually going to see them in these great halls. And then to hear them perform in such an intimate setting is really a unique experience.
You're part of the ensemble being in the audience.
And tell us a bit about how all these operations are funded. Is this membership dues, philanthropy, just ticket sales?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. We are tremendously supported by the community. And, of course, we always want more, but we do seek also foundations and government assistance. We have ticket revenue. We have beverage revenue. It's whatever source we can get the income, we do that.
We also utilize the building for rental space sometimes. Mm-hmm. So some people have their weddings there. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful venue for a wedding, so that also helps.
Yeah. And we also make the building available to other nonprofits, so they have their galas and their fundraisers there.
Excellent. Yeah. And you know, I think one of the most recognizable things about the building, at least now, is the light sculptures that are out there. And I can't tell you how many times folks have asked me, like, what does it say? What is that? Can you maybe just give us a little bit of a primer on what that is?
Sure. That public art was funded by Florida Power and Light, and it's the artist is Jim Sanborn out of Washington, D.C., and he did two cylindrical sculptures that have a very powerful light inside and letters on the cylinders that project words onto the walls. And if you're looking at the building, the left cylinder is all the Latin names of the plants that Thomas Edison did in his used in his rubber experiments. And the one on the right fools everybody because it's in Creek Indian, and it tells the story of the Seminole Indian migration to Southwest Florida.
Okay.
So it's very regional art by a national artist.
And you know, a lot of the local history that the building kind of has with it is displayed in the building. There's historic photographs. And I think one of my favorite things I recently learned over the summer about the actual toilets in the green room on the mezzanine. I looked at it and I'm like, oh, maybe this is just part of that, like, you know, modern minimalist style. But that's not the case.
Well, I have a little bit of a sense of humor, I admit. And so when we created the green room, being an artist, I always like to, when I perform in a venue that has a really nice green room. So we spared no expense in the green rooms and the dressing rooms. However, I saved the toilet sink stainless steel combo things from the jail cells when it was a courthouse, and we reused them in the restroom. So now all our performers get to use the jail cell toilets.
He's good at keeping the history, though. Yeah. We have a beautiful sculpture in the stairwell as well that had the letters that were actually federal building, and it goes from the bottom, which also contains a part of the elevator shaft, all the way to the top, to the second floor. And then also included in that sculpture, there's some brass stars that were above the benches of the judges' chamber. So he does a good job of keeping, you know, parts of the building and the history and incorporating into the life that it is now as the Sidney and Byrne Davis Arts.
Another fun thing I did was when they ripped out the old original 1933 elevator, which unfortunately wasn't up to code, we had to put a new one in. So when they took that old one out, there was this big, massive gear system, cable system. And I said, I can't let that go to the landfill. I got to use it. So local artist Lawrence Wojtek helped me convert it to a conference table. So now that gear work sits as a table in our conference room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I remember I was speaking with Mike Canary earlier today. He's a former, you know, WGCU reporter. And he was out with you the day that some sort of part of the building was being torn down that had actually been blocking the side entrances. I'm not sure about something.
Oh, yeah. The original entrances were when they converted the building in 1965 to a courthouse, they actually sealed up the original entry doors on the front loggia. So it was just concrete block, which made no sense to me why they did it, but they must have had reason for the courthouse purposes. So Of course, we had to completely take that out and restore the original doors to the building now. So one, you approach the building and you come up the front steps and you look left and right, you see those wonderful doors restored.
All right. We are – do we have a phone call? Oh, okay. I can't – sorry. Okay. Looks like we've got some comments coming in, and I will get to those just as soon as I get this computer mouse working. But Jim, I was hoping we could talk maybe a little bit more about the history, not just of the building, but of the space itself, because even before the building was there, that was pretty historically significant.
Yeah. Well, space itself, the downtown is known as that it was originally a fort of Fort Myers, and the exact location of the former federal building, now sitting in Burn Davis Arts Center, was the officers' quarters building. And when the building was going to be built, they moved the officers' quarters over to the behind it to the next block, and that became a public library. And the federal building was built. So the space has a tremendous history. And, of course, before the fort was there, it had a village there. And it's known they've found artifacts there. So all this – it's so amazing to be part of this history. And now it's been integral in the economic impact of downtown. And downtown has come back to life and because of a number of reasons, but we like to think that we had a significant impact on downtown coming back to life. And it's just been a pleasure to be part of that. And it's continuing to grow, and we've got a new Luminary Hotel coming in downtown and several other developments. So it's so exciting to be a part of just bringing downtown back to life and making it a destination.
Absolutely. We've got a couple comments here. Jennifer Gay writes to us, "I'm a local wedding planner, Blue Flamingo Weddings, and the Sydney and Burn Davis Arts Center," she says, "is one of her favorite wedding venues in Southwest Florida, not only for the gorgeous – it's a gorgeous space for weddings, but the staff is professional, and the in-house catering, G3 Catering, she says, is out of this world, plus Jim and his group are available to play for the ceremony, which is wonderful."
Yeah. We've had some tremendous weddings and tremendous parties in there. It's really lends itself well to beautiful parties.
And Michael writes to us as well on Facebook. He says he was just recently at the Arts Center for a local band called Solixer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he said they were amazing. The venue was great. And he had a great time too. Good. Mike, we're glad you had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love those guys.
All right. Well, we're about out of time for this portion of the show. But as far as, getting folks out to the Sydney and Burn Davis Arts Center this year or, any events that we didn't quite highlight, is there anything you'd want to – any final comments you'd want to leave us with?
Well, our website has all the information on upcoming events, which is www.sbdac.com. Or you can call the box office at 239-333-1933.
Well, thanks so much to our guests. It's been great speaking with you guys. We were talking, of course, with Sydney and Burn Davis Art Center CEO and Executive Director Jim Griffith, as well as the center's Development Director Melissa DeHaven. Great to have you both
thank
in studio.
Thank you, John. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you, John.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, look at what goes into deciding what wines go on a wine list and in retail shops. Host Julie Glenn takes us behind the scenes in wine. That's just ahead. Stay with us. I'm John Davis, and this is Gulf Coast Live.